Usually if I go to notes, you're in a lot of trouble. It means it was too long to memorize, but not today, I hope. It's more a fruit of this week, right? So I think we've all had those weeks. Yeah. And I was already kind of feeling stretched out from all the Easter and Holy Week things. And then this week, I kept having to write funeral homilies. And I did 10 last rites calls this week. And I was having a lot of trouble getting my head together, which is nothing new. We call that Tuesday at the rectory. But I read this meditation yesterday, and a part of it, I was explaining to the Lord how much I hated my homily, and it turns out he did too. It got awkward, you know. I was like, no, Joe, it's fine. It's like, no, Joe, that stinks. Let's do that. And in the end, it was really just rereading this gospel over and over all week, where something was driven home to me that I hadn't really thought of before. And I always was conscious of the fact that every time Jesus appears to the disciples, he says, peace be with you. And I know that's Hebrew for chill out. Yeah, right? That's Hebrew for easy, easy. And he says it a lot. But I don't think any of them capture so much of that as today's gospel, where Jesus is trying to tell them something, but they're so wigged out. He has to slow down the whole process. Literally, get them, sit down, we're going to eat. And how often, guys, is that our lives? Yeah, it's a freight train, isn't it? Of expectations. It's a freight train of information. Humans have never had this much access to info. And I don't even know if you'll believe me, but it's quite literally a fact that you and I live in the least violent time in human history. But it sure doesn't feel like that, because we know everything. We know everything that's going on everywhere in the world. We know everything that's going on at work. We know everything that's going on in our country. And even then, it becomes hard to sort out, right? Who's lying and who's telling the truth? And in the end, and God help you if you're like me, but there's just this big thing in our heads of constant input and data, and all of it comes back to a really simple idea. Everything's a mess. Yeah, everything's a mess. It's all falling apart. And you're falling apart. In the midst of that, here's our gospel. Where what the disciples have went through, and we can't go there with them because we know the end of the story. They did not know the end of the story. What they knew is they just had two of the most insane weeks of their lives. They watched their hope get killed, and they were a part of him getting killed. They wanted to be by his side, but they ran away. They wanted to do what's right, but they couldn't pull it off. And not only that, but he kind of is dead, but he doesn't seem to be staying that way. And they don't know what to make of it. Is this real, or is this a ghost? Is it a spirit, or is this our guy? And if it's our guy, how did he do that? It's a mess. And even if you remember last week, they spent 7 days in a room arguing, right? And only people in that culture could pull that off, right? 7 days of yelling, oh, he's risen from the dead. Oh, sure, have another drink. You know, this whole craziness happened. Why did he appear to those people and not me? Why did he appear to me and not those people? Oh my gosh. And by the way, people are hunting you. In the midst of all of that, Jesus comes to them and says, peace. Now for us, and I think it's an easy mistake to make, we think peace means there's no conflict. But there's only going to be one point in your life where there's no conflict, and that's when you're dead. As long as there is more than one human on earth, there will be conflict. As long as there's the devil, there will be conflict. Jesus is not declaring an end to conflict. He's saying there's a truth that you and I are supposed to grab onto and hold onto that puts the chaos in its appropriate context. If death can't beat him, chaos has no chance. And the disciples figured this out eventually. When the Holy Spirit hit them, they eventually started acting on what they believed instead of what they felt. And they became unconquerable. But not by their willpower, that wasn't enough, but by the Spirit of God in them. I think for you and I, if we're feeling this turbulence, if we're feeling this fear that it's all falling apart, if we're struggling with what looks like the victory of evil in so many ways, Jesus wants to do for us what he did to the disciples in our gospel. And the first step is, he wants to open our hearts to his mercy. Who here needs mercy? Anybody? Just real quick. All right. Okay, not all of you. I'm very impressed, yeah. And if you're not sure on that, just check with your spouse. The more you think about that, that's funny. More and more funny. But anyway, we all need mercy. Yeah? We all need mercy. And here's the thing. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you more than you want anything. And Jesus makes this clear with this phrase he uses, and it's in our first reading too. Repent, quote, repentance, comma, for the forgiveness of sins. Why else would we repent? Oh, lots of reasons. We might repent because we're afraid of hell. We might repent because I want to be a more efficient tool in the hand of our Lord. Good luck with that. We might repent because we got caught. Jesus wants you and I to repent so that he can forgive us. How amazing is that? He wants to forgive. He wants you to know mercy. You know judgment. You and I know it so well, we freely give it to others. We've got tons of judgment. That was funny. Thank you. I award you 8 Jesus points for laughing. Guys, we got to repent. Not so that we can be a more efficient tool in the hand of the Lord. Not because we got caught. Not because we're afraid of hell. But because Jesus, we know he wants to give us mercy. He can't till we repent. So we open our hearts to his mercy. Yes, congratulations. You and I have figured out that we're a wreck. But it was true before. The difference is now Jesus wants us to see that we are a very loved wreck. That he doesn't need us to get it together. He doesn't need us to perform well. He just wants to love us. And when we accept that, we'll perform better. We'll love him better. But it starts with this knowledge. Jesus is crazy about me. The second thing is we need to learn to see our pain through his eyes. The disciples, and I do love this, they started to explain to Jesus why things were so messed up. And they're telling the guy who just got tortured to death. But he goes through it with them. It says right there. He walked through it with them and he opened scriptures to them so that they could see, guys, this wasn't a defeat. This was victory. I needed to kill sin. I needed to kill death, and I did it. Our pain is pain. And we can medicate it if we want. We can throw out cliches at ourselves. Oh, other people have it worse. We can do all that, and it's not going to do anything for us, except make it worse. But what we should do is ask Jesus, I give you this pain. Help me to see it through your eyes. I tell you with all of my heart, some of the worst things that have ever happened to me have made me a better person. I did not like them. I would not volunteer for them again. But I know that Jesus brought beauty out of the darkness. He brought something amazing out of the chaos, and he'll do it with you. But you got to give him that pain. Don't medicate it away. Don't excuse it away. Don't down yourself. Just give it to Jesus and listen. Listen. If evil has been inflicted on you, then you need to refuse to inflict that evil on anyone. And the easiest one on this is gossip. And I know no one here gossips, but I know some people who do, okay? We all fall into that sin. It's easy. Have we ever been gossiped about and went, oh, that's great? It causes us pain. Gossip is an enemy that we can't fight. It's invisible. And we know that, but we inflict it. Here's a time for us to take the pain we've experienced from gossip and give it to Jesus and say, keep me from this sin. And to do that over and over. And do that with every ounce of pain we encounter. Have you been betrayed? Well, then don't betray. We can do this with all of our sins. We give it to the Lord, we receive his mercy, and then we give him our pain. And we see it through his eyes. Pain is inevitable. We're in a broken world. And we're broken people. But it doesn't stop him if we give him the pain. He could turn it into something beautiful. And then finally, be happy about that, we have a spirit. Now, I'm going to strap a saddle on this and ride it till the horse dies when we get to Pentecost, okay? But for now, know this. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. You don't have a cheap knockoff. You don't have an imitation of it. The only way we are limited is through our faith. Inside of you is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And he's not, I don't think, calling any of us, more than likely, to run out into the world and make world peace. If he couldn't pull it off, you've got no shot. But you can be a saint. You can refuse to be a part of the chaos and the noise. You can refuse to be a part of the fear and rage machine. You and I can be saints. And thus the antidote to the chaos. But we can't be saints without a spirit. And he gave us that spirit. So we need to think about that. Call on that spirit. So lots of crazy, huh? Lots of crazy out there. And you and I often will feel powerless about it all. But we are never powerless. Because we can always count on Jesus to forgive us. We can always give our pain to Jesus and let him gently and slowly help us see it through his eyes. And we are filled with his Holy Spirit. This is the answer to the chaos. This is the answer to the darkness. We have everything we need. Let's get after it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.